land and to live righteously. It's time for another edition of the Culture Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 18th of September.
Hey, that's today.
Yeah. We'll probably put this out tomorrow. Maybe we'll do it today. Because you got your episode of the Mormon News Report today on our feed as part of our triple combination. It's not going away. Here's the best part about On Demand, you guys. If you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it. Now, I encourage you to listen to it because I think that Brant and Brian do a great job.
Agreed.
And those who come to the Culture Hall and like the Mormon News Report and don't like the other stuff that we do. That's fine. I mean, I question your judgment,
sure,
that that's the thing. But, I mean, you know, you don't have to listen. I encourage you to listen because I won't ever put anything out that I'm like, well, that's a big heapy pile of crap. So I feel like there's something redeeming in everything. I want you to look at it like a sacrament meeting. Sometimes the talks are really good and they hit home and you're like, oh my gosh. Sometimes there's like one talk where you're like, that talk was great, but I'm not sure that it saves it from the other talk that I had to endure. And then sometimes it just matters that you were there.
Right. And some talks touch other people that they might not touch you, and that's fine. I enjoy the association with the Mormon News Report.
Right. And that's you.
Mm-hmm.
So you enjoy all parts, the triple combination, as it were.
Yep.
I'm going to share this, actually, as we do our opening exercises here. This was shared from the pulpit in my ward yesterday.
Okie dokie.
I sort of really enjoy it, but I wonder how many people it made uncomfortable.
Who's speaking?
A guy in the ward.
Okay, so just ward sacrament
just
meeting.
Ward
no
guy. Sacrament
okay.
meeting. Him and, he and his wife assigned to teach.
Mm-hmm.
He gets up and he says, you know, his talk is on about justserve.org, the website.
Right.
A lot of wards are being asked. I've noticed because I've traveled a little bit, a lot of different people in different wards have been like, hey, tell us about a time you did service from justserve.org. Well, I haven't done any. Well, go on to justserve.org, pick a serving assignment, do it, and then come back and report about it. Anyway, so his wife spoke first, then we sang a song. Yesterday was the greatest hits in my ward yesterday. We were Nearer My God to Thee. We were Choose the Right. We were, I mean, all the things. And the sweetest moment ever, and I'll share this only briefly. So my girlfriend, who is not a member of the church, who attends church with me, tried to sing one of the hymns yesterday.
Oh.
And it was the sweetest thing that I've experienced with music and hymns of the church in a long time.
Does she usually just read along? Or?
Well, right, because she's not like musically inclined to be able to read the music.
Right.
And these are not songs that she's known for
her whole
37
life.
Years.
Right.
So, you know.
That's nice.
Yeah, so it was very sweet. So here's what got shared from the pulpit yesterday. He gets up, he's got the notebook, right? Like the steno pad. And he says, before I am an American, I am a son of heavenly parents. Every man, woman, and child on earth is my brother or sister, including Islamic terrorists, socialists, communists, Cubans, Russians, North Koreans, Iranians, etc. The scriptures don't say love, serve, and give only to whomever America's allies are. They say that we are all children of heavenly parents with divine potential. And I thought it was great.
I love it.
But I wonder how many people it made uncomfortable in the congregation. And maybe no one. Maybe I'm being overly sensitive.
Hmm.
But it was interesting. So he tells a story about how like he was questioning his faith and he had to figure out how he could continue to be a Mormon person, right? There were some things that he questioned, some things that he maybe sort of doubted, and so he had to find his path in Mormonism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he is very much not orthodox. And he sort of has a little bit of a nervous persona about him. So like he's one that he gets up and both my girlfriend and I looked at each other and we're like, oh, he's a little nervous. And that makes her panicked. I'm not sure if you're one that gets panicked for nervous folks.
Right. Like
right, where you're like, oh
yeah,
my
shoot,
gosh, they're so nervous. I'm sorry. I can't pay attention because they come across so nervous.
Yeah.
And I said, I think we're going to be okay. And he did. He had all the mannerisms of nervousness, but delivered a talk that she said was probably one of the most appreciated that she's been able to hear in the time that she's been going with me.
Cool.
It was really sweet, just about serving everyone and everyone is God's children and all that. So
I like it.
Yeah.
Good.
It's fun to have that different perspective in sacrament meeting, right?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of sensitivity for me where I'm like, I'm listening for things that I'm going to need to break down and explain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, Adam God theory, and now I need to, you know, explain that to you, right?
Yes.
But then also just to be like, you know, why am I here? What am I doing here? Is this the thing I'm paying attention to? I don't, you know, not getting my phone out. I'm going to really focus in on this. Oh man, these messages are really great.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Then the other thing for me for opening exercises is I did a high school reunion over the weekend for DJ Rob at Life of the Party. And which
meaning you were the DJ or it was you were attending?
Okay. It wasn't his reunion. But yeah, I was the DJ for this reunion. And I'm to assure everyone, by the way, that DJ Rob is just fine. And he'll hopefully be able to do an episode with us here in the next couple weeks. Okay. Things are starting to slow down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
September is kind of the end-ish of the wedding season.
Mm-hmm.
You get kind of into a slower October mm-hmm. and a certainly slower November as people gear up for the holidays. So he's great. Doing this gig, it is a 30-year high school reunion.
Okay.
So let's age people real quick. That makes them about 48, mm-hmm. 47, 48, 49.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was kind of combined, right? Like if the year before it hadn't had a reunion, we're like, I'm coming to yours because I'll see cool. some people that I like.
Yeah.
Not super crowded,
mm-hmm.
probably less than 100 people up at the Homestead, which is in Midway, Utah, which is where a lot of apostles live mm-hmm. of the church. It's kind of nice. It's about 45 minutes away from Salt Lake. It has some sort of Swiss influence, which I don't understand.
Every time we go there, we were just there for Labor Day weekend,
uh-huh.
and we just kind of look around like, what? The Rockies are just fine. We don't need to make this the Alps. What's the...
Yeah, I don't know why it started that way.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone will write us and tell us. Mm-hmm. contact@theculturalhall.com. But the entirety of the reunion was people coming up and saying, hey, we're not old.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I don't feel like I said,
yep.
I mean, you're right. You guys are having a great time and you're not old. Next person comes around, great music, we're not old. I'm like, no, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You are not old.
Yeah.
And you guys are having a great time. And that person is athletic in a way that I couldn't be that athletic. I'm not that athletic. You are definitely not old. Next person come up, hey, just so you know, we are not old. Keep this party going. I'm like, what? And so the only thing that I could take away from it is I feel like maybe when you hear 30-year high school reunion,
mm-hmm.
like it just makes you feel old.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not old.
Have you, excuse me, have you reached that point yet where you feel like you need to tell people you aren't old?
No.
Okay.
Have you?
Let me tell you, I think, was it last week when there was a concert over here at Galvin, the Lost 80s Live?
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like you're, you know, you're...
Wing Chun's and your Berlin.
Yep, and your one-hit wonders. You know, Tommy Two Tone comes out and he does the songs you want to hear, and then he exits and they reset, and then it's, you know...
He did the song that
he
everybody
did
to
do
hear.
The one song, and when
867-5309.
Yeah, it's my phone number. And
yeah.
When he did that song, I happened to be in line at a food truck getting my food, and I heard it playing, and I was like, oh man, am I missing this? And my husband was like, what is it? And I said, it's Tommy Two Tone. He goes, oh. And I said, run over and record this on your phone, will you, for me, while I'm waiting here for my food?
Uh-huh.
I said, sure. And he comes back after, just with this look on his face, like something's been ruined in his heart. He's just like, dude, he's like 100. Like, what? And we kind of looked around. We're like, yeah, everyone here is old. We're not.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean.
Here's the deal for me. Like, I recognize that my body is getting old.
Mm-hmm.
I look in the mirror and I go, that ain't how it used to be. that ain't where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if I ate really good, that would not look the way that I want that to.
Yeah, yeah.
But inside, I don't feel like I am any more mature than I was 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, not really. Like, I learned to not say stuff, but not because I don't think it, but because it's inappropriate.
Right, yeah. I feel like I still have some cynicism. I just also have some more experience and wisdom, but...
Yeah.
But there's also kind of a settling in and a comfort with it. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel... So this year, I turned 40.
Yeah.
And at some point this...
Was 40
summer,
hard? Was 40 old?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, at some point this summer, I realized that I'm middle-aged. And I was like, oh, huh. When I turned 40, we were in Italy. But, like, and, you know, we woke up in the morning. My husband said, happy birthday. I forgot, like, all day long that it was my birthday, but also that I was 40. For a lot of people, that's a big, like...
Right.
Whether it's that they're going to celebrate because they're excited, whether they're really down about it, or they're going to celebrate because they're going to push away the sadness about it. I was just like, oh, and I.
How about that?
Yep. Yeah, well, what do you know?
Hmm.
That was a Thursday, you know.
I had a little bit of it with my birthday this year where it's like, I'm not mid 30s anymore. I'm late 30s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, not bad. The big one for me was 27. That was my hard year.
Mm-hmm.
When I turned 27, I was battling acid reflux. Fox.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a bunch of shows at the theater. Still living at home. I hadn't moved out yet. And people were giving me a really hard time about that. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, I'm 27.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
I guess.
Acid reflux is the worst.
Yeah, well, I had to change my diet and do some more exercise, and then I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I also had to learn how to say no, and I think that's about it.
It is. It is.
Did we talk about... No, not on here. And then I got a new calling. Did I talk about that already?
No. I was going to listen to it on the radio, but instead I jumped on the train and hopped up here.
I am called now, so I've got three callings because I'm a city ward kid.
You got your home teacher calling.
Oh, so I've got four callings.
So you got four callings.
Right. So I got the home teacher. So I teach the Elders Quorum once a month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the Elders Quorum presidency. I'm a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday I was called as the ward historian,
mm-hmm.
particularly charged with doing a podcast for my ward.
Now, what does that mean?
Good question. Here was the best part about the calling. You're the ward historian. Okay, what does that mean, was what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. You decide. You determine what that means.
I've had that before.
And if you need committee members, tell us and we'll call them.
Yeah.
Okay. And like any sort of, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I feel like you do a good job. They want me to do a podcast.
Neat.
And my thought is there are some really old people. Like there's one guy in my ward who I'm pretty sure came to the Valley with the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a ton of stories. He may not be that old, but he's pretty old.
Mm-hmm.
But
he knows a guy.
And I think he's lived in the house that he lives in his entire life.
Neat.
Like I think it was, I mean, he probably was married. She's long since passed, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But like that was where he was raised. And then maybe went out for a while and then parents died and then he took it back and has lived there for at least 50 years once parents have died. The guy is amazing and he has amazing stories, but he's pretty old. So we might just call Old Man Stories the podcast.
Is he, do his stories line up or when he talks, I don't know. It depends.
So as one person speculated with my new calling, they're like, you know, you're going to have really big hits when these people die and the family wants to hear one of the last things that it did. Maybe I'm out of the norm, but like I think it would be fascinating to know a little bit about the people in my ward, right?
For sure.
Like 15 minutes.
It's for
like,
sure.
This week we're talking to the bishop. You know him as the bishop, but we're going to get down and dirty with this thing. Bishop, where were you? I didn't know you were an Olympic cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know how to do that? What's the thing that inspires you? You know, it'll be a little bit of testimony and also a little bit of life. That's preliminarily what I think it would
be. I like that. I think that is going to, I don't know how your ward is. I know that a lot of people, you know, they, especially moving into a new ward that's been established, like it sounds like yours is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the turnover is in your ward or whatever.
Pretty big.
Okay. Well, then I think that kind of helps new people, you know, get to know, or even new people get to be known because sometimes there's a wall there.
Yeah. The other thing that I'm looking forward to, too, is being like to the inactive members. Hey, we're doing a podcast and I'd like to interview you.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't go. I didn't ask.
Yeah.
I didn't.
That's not a thing.
Yeah. I wasn't really sure what you're saying here.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I just want to know you.
Good.
Let people know who you are. We'll see.
I like it.
I don't know, but we may have to change it from old man stories to something else.
I like it. That's good.
What's new with you? We just chatted last week.
We did just chat last week and I need to repent. My pride has brought me low. So in talking about my new marriage, you know, I get a lot of people saying to me, and I'm grateful for it. They come up and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you. You deserve all the happiness. You look so happy and I see your pictures and life looks
your
just so happy.
That's what I like to say.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You've just changed and you're light and your smile is back and I've never seen you this happy. I didn't mention that part last week when we were talking about how it is being married to the person I'm married to. Usually when I say what I said on last week's episode, that part is assumed. And it.
Did he listen to it? Was he sad?
No, he wasn't sad.
Being married to me. Was it that?
No. It was this thing where before I went, I was like, man, I haven't been on since before we got married.
Right.
And he's like, well, what are you going to say for the opening exercises? And I was like, there's just so much to talk about.
Right.
And then afterwards, I was like, did I express that I'm super grateful to be married to who I'm married to and how I really actually have to pinch myself a lot because, like, I can't believe that we're married to each other and that we found each other. And, I mean, I don't want it to come off as as really cheesy and that it's all, you know, roses all the time.
Yeah, people will say that, though, regardless of what you say.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, and I'm appreciative when people are complimentary. So thank you to everyone who is complimentary. And when I say that it's hard, and I think the first thing I said last week was that I know why the divorce rate for second marriage isn't so high.
And your poor husband, who definitely listens to the episode, is like, babe, we're okay, right?
So anyway, I just love him a lot. And he, like, it just makes me think about so much about what happens in the church culturally and, like, getting married so young and why we get married so young and what are our motivations for getting married when we do and how lasting are those things and compatibility and all sorts of different things. And the first time I got married, I don't want to dwell too much on that, but I'll just say this time, one thing that you hear a lot is, we'll tell the youth or the young people, marry your best friend.
Right.
It's such a cliche, right? But I'm here to tell you today, you should marry a friend, like, for real. Like, when it comes to it, you should marry someone who, even when you're frustrated with something that they've done or that they're doing, or even one of their idiosyncrasies, you can see the value in them and their goals and what you know about them as a person. I'm really glad that he and I got to know each other as friends first. And especially, I mean, when it came to kind of pivotal points in our relationship, like, should we keep going?
Right.
If we end this, what does that mean? Can we still be the friends that we are and that we enjoy being? One thing that I've said before, you know, when people ask about the story about how we met, you know, I say that we, you know, I like sent him a message on Facebook one time that said, hey, where can you recommend a place in Salt Lake to go running? And he answered, and we just haven't stopped talking since then. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just, I love him a lot and life's really good with him.
Aww.
So, yeah.
Friends. Isn't it about time?
Isn't it about getting married to your friends? Isn't it about...
See, and the thing that I took away from it is it's like, it's worth the work, right?
Exactly.
The hopefulness.
Yep.
Like people, you know, your world, whether you were the one that asked for the divorce or you were the one, the recipient, I mean, it seems to me that there's always on some level that portion of a divorce, right?
Sure.
There's definitely one that wants it more than the other.
Yeah.
There is a bout of hopelessness that comes. Sometimes it's short for some people. Sometimes it's much longer. There's a time where you go, no one's going to want me. There's not a thing out there for me.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going to be? Man, the things that I want, no one possibly could be around that has those things, because that person would be snatched up, or, you know, whatever the things are.
Yeah. And when you've internalized that, truly, like having gone through a divorce, and you get to a point where you hit a few bumps in the road, it, like you do in any relationship, I think that's the thing. I think people don't... I think there's like this kind of shame to people admitting that relationships take work and are worthy of work. And that shouldn't be a thing. I mean, we should acknowledge that and welcome it.
Right.
It's really easy when you hit those bumps in the road to revert back to, oh my gosh, I'm not, like, I am incapable of being a successful spouse, and just kind of, you know, revert right back to that. But when you are not only willing to do the work, but when you have someone who wants to work it out with you, that makes every difference in the world. And then you add on top of that that you're friends and you make each other laugh and you really like to have fun together and you just really like to be together.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Amen, sister.
Yeah, thanks, man.
The other part that I'll do, because I can't have a serious conversation for very long without needing to throw something in.
Do it.
They should also not be too much work. And if you find yourself being the one doing all the work, run as fast as you can.
Right.
Because you'll just resent the time that you spent trying to work something out that the other person didn't want to put any sort of effort towards.
And that's what I mean. Like, if you have someone who wants to, not just will do the work with you, but wants to work it out with you, because one person can't fix a marriage.
No matter how strong you are.
Yeah.
Let's take a break for a second.
Cheers.
Do you have anything else you want to do in that opening exercises?
I don't think so.
Okay. No?
Well.
Yes?
Just to.
Come on.
I can't get my computer
open it up.
To freaking. One of my kids is getting ready for a mission, so we should talk about that maybe periodically here.
Yeah.
And then another one of my kids has told me that they don't want to go to church anymore.
Oh, yes.
So there we are.
So that's the thing.
Yeah.
Should we talk about one of them now?
Just for a couple of seconds.
Okay.
Which one?
Oh, you know what? Actually, let's take a break for a second. We'll come back and we'll talk about both of them, because I have some great things on both sides. We'll do that in the second block of the Cultural Hall.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. One in five children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Dan the Laptop Man here, and it's time for another PC Laptop's Bedtime Story. Once upon a time, Brian was looking for a new computer. He searched far and wide from north to south, and he even took his quest online. But he had yet to find the PC of his dreams and was feeling sad. If only I could find the perfect computer with a lifetime warranty to match, he thought to himself. But then Brian stumbled upon a magical store with a friendly staff and a selection galore. Inside, he knew he had found what he'd been searching for all along, a blazing fast PC with a lifetime warranty his heart had desired. Brian returned home, his new PC laptop's desktop in tow. And should it come time to upgrade, Brian knows where to go. PC Laptops, where we really do love Brian and you. PCLaptops.com.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
Not going to actually do Articles of News for a second. So, okay. Your daughter going on a mission.
Yeah.
So, here's an interesting thing. One daughter, right? All the kids still live together, but they live with dad, who's stake presidency?
No.
Well, used to be.
He was when we were married.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But still active, right?
Yes.
Very much so?
Yeah, he and his wife are very active.
Just ask him. How religious is he?
Yep. How religious are you?
Well, so Jenny and I went to a BYU TV screening of a TV show called Extinct, which I have to say, minus maybe one or two small little quirky things for me, I really loved it.
Yeah.
The first episode.
Yeah.
Story of people, it's a sci-fi. Post-apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. All the humans are dead. People come back to life.
Yep.
And it's not super religious-y. In the Q&A afterwards, I asked a question of the writer, and as part of his answer, he says, "Well, I'm very religious," and I interrupted him and said, "How religious?
How religious
like,
are you?
Like what? Like you pay 12%?" And I don't know how many people caught that, but
a lot did.
There
were a lot of laughs there, and there are certainly religious overtowers, right? I mean, it's just of this show,
it's creation,
or it's Orson Scott Card, right?
And Aaron Johnson is the other guy who I want to interview. Actually, I'm going to get in touch with him and have him be an episode here of the Cultural Hall. So that's an aside.
Anyway.
Religion very much a part of the home.
Mm-hmm.
Sis, mm-hmm. Oldest sis going on a mission. Am I right in to assume that it's the next daughter that is not wanting anything to do with the church?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the older sis going on a mission.
Yeah. So she, she'll be 19 in April.
Okay.
She's a freshman at a university where her dad works.
Okay.
And she wants to have a year of school in before
Which
she
is
goes.
Smart.
Yep,
she,
really
but
smart.
She's living at home, though,
She's
right?
living at home. Yeah, she's living at home and, you know, working and going to school, just getting it done. But she's got, you know, already she's got her appointment for her wisdom teeth to come out.
Have you had yours out?
Yes, I have.
Miserable.
Yeah, super. She keeps saying, well, can we just schedule for a day? I'm like, honey, the recovery is awful. Like, I have to check with your other parents to see who can watch you. You can't just, like, you're not going to, like, go to work the next day.
Right.
So
I was actually pretty good the next day. It was a week after that next day that was terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What, did you get, like, dry socket?
We can talk about it. It's a story for not this podcast.
Okay. Sure. Got it. Okay. Yeah. So she's getting ready. She's taking an institute class. Really?
Mission prep?
No. I think
she may
Book of Mormon. Yeah. She'll take that next semester.
Okay.
So
she'd be good. I mean, every parent's gonna say, "Yeah, my kid will be a good missionary." But do you feel like she'll be a good missionary?
I do. I feel like she'll be able to. You know, it's hard. There are so many different missions require so many different skills. But for her, she really values truth. She takes after me a lot of, almost to the degree that she'll, if you look at like truth and peace on a spectrum, mm-hmm. like she'll go for truth
right.
rather than peace, which is a blessing and a curse.
Bless your sweet husband.
Right. Right. Bless my peacemaker husband.
Yep. Because on the other end of that scale,
yep.
you have your
mm-hmm.
husband.
Yes. Yeah. And so she has a lot of strengths. She also has a lot to learn, and she's a hard worker. She's really determined, and yeah, I have the perspective that a parent would have, like, oh yeah, she'll be great. But I also know that I'm her mom, and there are a lot of things that I don't know about her.
Right.
But I think that it will, just knowing the kind of person she is, I think that there are a lot of things a mission can bring that she can really benefit from, growing as a person herself, but also to help other people and serve other people.
So now, as I segue this, do you think that she'll be a positive example on the next girl?
Yes, I do. I do. And in fact, what's interesting is that I think when you were talking earlier about the gentleman from your ward giving a talk about how he had to kind of find his place.
Mm-hmm.
Because he isn't what he considers to be orthodox, right?
Right.
I think, like, that's kind of the whole, it's kind of why we do this, right? Like, we're saving a seat for people on the back row. Like, we'll, if you don't fit what you think is the mold, we'll sit by you.
Right.
Like, and I think that that's kind of what's going on here, is that the method that my kid's dad and his wife use, the way that they worship, doesn't resonate. And I think that when there is an acceptance of the fact that there are different ways to worship, and that there isn't a way to worship that is superior
mm-hmm.
to another way, I think that helps. But I don't know how much she feels that way. She feels that because she's made decisions, she feels like she's being made to feel guilty about things. And
sure.
I mean, it's hard because we really do, the four of us, you know, as parental figures in my kids' life and their lives. We consult on a lot of things. We have group texts, group emails, that sort of thing. I don't know. I don't know. Like,
how
okay,
much
here,
about this teenage rebellion, right? Because every kid goes, "Yeah, mom, suck it. I'm not going to church today."
Right.
Just to see, is this gonna be the thing that mom goes crazy about, or is this a fight?
Right.
Are you gonna be given the, all right, you don't have to go to church, but here's a list of chores that you have to do instead?
Right. Well, and is that a thing? Like, you give them work to do instead of, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I don't have experience with this, really. To be quite frank, there are days I don't want to go to church.
Right.
Right.
Can you express that? Because I think that's.
Yeah. Yeah. And I told her I would talk. She sent me a text this morning, and I guess she told her dad last night, and he said, "Well, if you don't tell your mother, I'm going to." So she's like, I guess I better tell you this. I told him last night I don't want to go to church anymore.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, we'll talk tomorrow when I see you. Love you. Have a good day. And, I did ask, did you give him an explanation? She said, "I'm just sick of feeling guilty." And I also really believe, you know, people need help feeling guilty
right.
about
we do,
things. We're just fine. And, you know, I think it's probably timely. She went to homecoming Saturday, her first date.
Yeah, she looked cute.
Thank
super
you.
Cute.
Thanks.
Ask her if she'll let us share that picture. She's adorable.
Okay, yeah, I sure will. She will be 16 next week.
Well, so she got a little acceptance, a little.
Well, yeah. So what happened was, older sister, college sister, sent me a text a few weeks ago. "Hey, she's going to be asked to homecoming."
Uh-huh.
Awesome. That's exciting. Yeah, I'm excited for her, but it's 10 days before her birthday. I was like, okay, do you support her going? I'm like, I sure do, but we should talk about it with her dad. What does he say? You know, so it's been this whole thing. And
right.
and I've let them, you know, if you need me to step in, if we need to have a talk all together, we can. But
right.
ultimately, she was with him that weekend. And I mean, I got her address. And
it's 10 days. I feel like it's arbitrary. I don't feel God is like 10 days before 16.
I do too. I do. That's how I feel.
Like, and 6 months before 16, I think that's different.
I do too. Yeah. So I don't know. And don't know. There are a lot of factors at play here, and I think that's the point, is that for it's different for every kid. It's different for every family. As for me and my house and this daughter, 10 days, sure, go. Have a good time. Love ya. We'll see.
I think as far as the church thing goes, and then I do want to get some articles of news. I think the honest thing to do is to just be like, hey, you know what? Some days I don't feel like going.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that here's why I go still on those days.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't go. Maybe you don't go. And maybe that's just an echo of the of an example. That sounds sort of harsh, but it's sort of an echo of an example that's set, right? Like parents go, or kids go, well, my parents didn't always go.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one thing that's interesting. And we've talked about this before. I think I've heard Joni talk about this,
mm-hmm.
about that. Like for some reason, for some people, I'm one of them, it's kind of ingrained in me. Like if I'm legit sick, I feel bad about not going to church.
Right.
Why?
Right.
That's dumb.
Right.
I shouldn't feel like that. Yesterday we had state conference,
uh-huh.
You know, instead of starting at 9, started at 10. I was not feeling great. I slept in and I thought, I was like, oh, well, I'll wake up when he gets in the shower and he gets ready and stuff. I happened to wake up because I heard my stepson walking downstairs, and I go downstairs and I'm like, oh, hey. And my husband stands up and he goes, hey, do you see what time it is? And I'm like, no. He's like, it's 10:13. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like, no, do you need to sleep? You know, and we ended up all three of us like getting ready and going. We were there for like the last half hour.
Right.
But I told him this morning, especially after getting that text from my daughter, like, thank you for not like flipping out about that.
Right.
Because in my previous life, that would have been like, there would have been some words about
yeah.
that.
It's interesting because I feel like I used to be that.
And I think he would say that he used to also. And I think I would say that I used to also.
Hmm.
Like,
it's yeah. interesting for me because it's not a regret I have, but I felt like I clung to religion so much when I was married,
mm-hmm.
Because she wanted nothing to do with it or very little to do with it, right? So it seemed like I had to be...
Like you had to compensate.
Yeah, that, you know, no, this is important. No, we will be there on time.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the point,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
It's interesting for me, the juxtaposition to now with someone who's like, yeah, we're going. Where are we going? We're going to be out of town. Is there a ward in
mm-hmm.
insert town where we're in? And to know that it's not ever a discussion of if, it's a discussion of, well, what's the deal with church this week? Oh, it's general conference? What does that mean? How do we, state conference? I don't know where that's at. Oh, it's at Temple Square? Beautiful. We get to go to a different place.
Yeah.
And I, you know, so being a couple minutes late, I don't find myself being like, move, we couldn't, why can't we be on time?
Yeah. Yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah. I just go back to, you know, it's about love. This is like, you know, putting money where your mouth is, right?
Could
like,
you, as far as the daughter goes, though, mm-hmm. I think, like, the thing that I would say is, I would say, you know what? What is it? Is it this? Do you feel like it's Mormons in particular?
Right. Is it something you're being taught? Do you feel...
Right. And then in that case, I think it's tremendously valuable. And I think that some people are afraid of doing it. And I don't understand why. I think we give a great discredit to the truth that we have to be like, let's go to a different faith.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'll pick you up. You don't want to go to the Mormon church? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll pick you up Sunday morning and we'll go check out whatever.
Yeah.
You pick it.
Right. Yeah. I'd be cool with that.
Is that what it is? Is that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
right.
then kind of explore it. Because probably what it is maybe there, you know, there's something that's happened that you aren't aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She doesn't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll figure it out. I mean,
yeah.
just keeping the lines of communication open and letting her know it's a safe place. So
wait, so you mean talking, huh?
Hmm. Talking and asking questions. And what does she mean? And not just imposing my own beliefs on that. So...
Right on.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Do you want to take the first article of news?
Yeah, let's do that. Do you remember the movie The Testaments?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
One fold, one shepherd.
It was at the Joseph Smith
Yeah, the
Memorial
Legacy
Building
Theater
for,
there.
For a while, right?
Uh-huh.
And now what's there?
Meet the Mormons 2.
Okay.
I think.
The Electric Boogaloo?
Electric Boogaloo? Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right. There's more stories of Mormons. But they also still do like Joseph Smith, the American Prophet there. I want to say that it's a film on rotation.
Maybe. I don't know. I'll have to go see. I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to look that up. But this from Mormon Life Hacker. Have you seen the Lego version?
I have. We shared these. If you don't follow the Cultural Hall on Facebook, you need to. It's very, very funny.
Yeah. I mean, someone took the time to do this, the Testaments film, and do a stop motion Lego production of of the Testaments. It's hilarious.
And it's stop motion. So for people who don't know what that means, it's set the logos in a place, take a picture, move them just barely.
Just a little bit.
Next picture.
Yeah. The time it takes, and someone did this, and it's brilliant. So thanks to Mormon Life Hacker for that. You can find the link to it on the Cultural Hall. And yeah, we shared the kind of one by one, but are there three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The three that I shared, there's probably more, but I just shared
But those are pretty great.
I wanted to share this. This is just a sad story, and we're catching up on some news.
Yeah.
You can find links to all these at theculturalhall.com. The woman she was born in Hastings, but raised in Hawaii. She is a Kiwi-born, so it's New Zealand. 34-year-old woman, triplets. And I sort of thought about this.
Oh, yes.
About this because of Anna.
Mm-hmm.
This woman gave birth to her three children, but then she died shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
And it talks about, you know, how come she died and all of these things. But it is an amazing recovery story for the family and for the community around the woman whose name is Shervon Magaoa, I think.
Okay.
Just how the community has helped. Because here you then have dad of triplets, no wife. So he's lost the love of his life and now has this charge to be in charge of these three kids. It's an amazing story of the family uniting around them. Both the family in the neighborhood, right? The neighborhood family, and then also the Ward family.
Yeah.
Just coming to the aid of this family. It's super sad, but I wanted to share that. There is a GoFundMe that has been established. This may surprise you, but Mormons, we're still younger and we're more conservative than other folks, but we're having less kids and we're getting less Republican.
You don't say.
Yeah. Hmm. Isn't that surprising?
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
No, it
I don't
isn't.
Think. The kid
think
thing
so.
Is certainly not. I mean, I'd ask you, but I mean, you have 100 and you're done having.
Yeah.
Kids.
Yes.
Unless are you and your husband going to have?
We're not. We're not going to have kids. People ask us that. They've asked us that, and yeah.
Can I ask intrusive questions now?
Please.
That people will be?
Yeah.
You're able.
Yes. Yeah.
But just have absolutely just no way, right? Because as you mentioned before, there are lots of people who have kids at 40.
There are.
No interest.
We're waiting until our last one's out of diapers.
Yeah.
Is our little joke there.
Not interested at all.
No.
Lots of guilt from other people? Lots of pressure you feel?
No, a lot of just kind of like frown smiles like, oh, really? You're not? Or just kind of like, oh, raised eyebrows. Right. You're not?
But I think it's maybe flattering to you, right? Because I feel like
yeah.
they don't ask that question if the lady looks old.
Yeah. It's nice of people to ask, but it also puts us in a unique position. I feel bad already that last week and this week I've taken up so much time with opening exercises type things. So we can talk about that another time. Well,
okay.
Just we were watching... I guess to go to another article here, just Elder Bednar did a
face-to-face.
Yeah. And he was talking about, do you remember what he talked about? I don't even think I printed it out.
I don't know what the subject was. I know that he said to read Doctrine and Covenants and the Family Proclamation before the actual face-to-face was done.
Okay, so I watched it.
Uh-huh.
And some things of note, he gave encouragement to, I thought this was wonderful, he gave encouragement to people who don't come from what looks like a perfect Mormon family.
Yay.
And essentially just said, look, you can establish your own. I think he said, like, from his mom's side, he's like fifth generation, right? Pioneer stock. From his dad's, he's the first one to go on a mission.
Right.
And he decided what he wanted for his life, and together he and Sister Bednar have established that pattern, those traditions, with their own kids. And that is doable. And in fact, I think he even repeated it, like something like, let me say again, if you don't come from this kind of...
In case you didn't catch this.
Right. But I looked over at my husband and I just thought, you know, he talks a lot about kind of like our family chains, like the links and chains. And I just thought, our chain looks really weird.
Yeah.
Because as you think about what it means to do those things that you should do to create your eternal family, mm-hmm. what does that mean for two people in their 40s who have had children with other people, who are no longer sealed to those other people, who are sealed to each other, and who are not going to have children in this life?
It's a big pile of chains.
It's something. But like what the actions that we take on this earth together as a family to create our eternal family, what are those things? Mm. There's nothing in any manual that says, right. really. So just interesting food for thought. But yeah, that face-to-face was some pretty
those
good.
Those are cool.
They are cool.
They do, as I understand it, because I've only watched one that they did like on the rooftop, and this was like a year ago, and I can't even remember. I think it was maybe Al Fox was one of the guests.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But it was outside, and it was with youth, and people can like tweet their questions.
Yes,
in,
use the hashtag, and they take the questions live. And yeah, I've seen a couple of them.
I think that's sort of fun.
Mm-hmm.
When I was visiting with Elder Christofferson, mm-hmm. that is the Tom Christofferson, mm-hmm. not D. Todd.
Right.
We talked a little bit about his brother because obviously you can't not when
right.
you're talking to an apostle's brother. That comes up.
Yeah.
But kind of putting the personal side, the personal touch, the off the cuff, the unprepared.
Yeah.
Part of things. And I really enjoyed getting to know Elder Christofferson, that is, of the D. Todd, through the eyes of his brother, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just being able to... In fact, that's one of the things that I love the very most about the way that we do the interviews here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't prep people with questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go into it saying, and now have for me your prepared answer. I want to know, you know, some of the quirky things, some of the things they weren't prepared to talk about,
mm-hmm.
what exactly this meant or what their favorite this thing is. And I love that about the face-to-face.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish they would do more of it and a little more candid about dumb stuff. What's your favorite food, President Monson? You're sitting home,
yeah.
you know, or you're going over to a member's house. What's something that you're just tired of members fixing for you? You're grateful. We're not saying that, you know, but mm-hmm. are you just not want another Stouffer's lasagna as long as you live? What is it?
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing in my mission.
I like it. Stouffer's lasagna.
Yeah, they would pop those in and they're great.
Sure.
You always get the garlic bread, but you'd end up eating 10 lasagnas a week and you only had 6 meals.
So, yeah. Awesome.
All right. So, a couple other news stories. How many more did you have?
Well, these are incomplete. They're from last week. But President and Sister Worthen gave their, beginning
That's
of the semester.
The president of BYU.
At BYU, yeah. They gave their opening of the semester devotional. And it was about fear. Sister Worthen opened and she talked about, she encouraged students not to give up when classes are difficult, saying that gaining an education is worth the sacrifice. She says, there will be times when you may become discouraged while striving to obtain your education. When those times come, please remember that what you are doing is praiseworthy. You are seeking to improve yourselves as well as the kingdom of God. And she talks about she learned this by taking an intermediate algebra class through independent study while she was working toward her degree. She got tutored, friends and family helped her, and she failed the final by 1 point. So she looked for other options, but then a friend encouraged her, and she decided to retake the test, and the second time she passed. She just says, even though it was at times very unpleasant and difficult, it was definitely a time of growth. And then President Worthen urged students to fear not, a commandment, he said, is often overlooked. When we can avoid fear, he said, we will be more productive and joyful. He defined fear as not as the emotion that protects us from anger or the reverence for God, but as an irrational fear or fear of the unknown. He said, this kind of fear is often defined using the acronym false evidence appearing real. It's that kind of fear that is debilitating, sometimes paralyzing, and almost always soul and energy sapping. And he went on to just talk about the right kind of fear to have and to not let it overtake us. And I think that's really a great thing to encourage students
for
the and people who aren't students.
I know. I was listening to it going, okay, all right.
Yeah, right.
What's the acronym for fear again? You read it. It's the
false evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
Fear's a lie.
Most of my life at this point is based on some sort of fear. I'm really, really.
No, that's why I liked it. That's why it resonated with me because so often, like, I get worried about things, and I'm sure you, same thing, and it's just like, what am I afraid of?
Well, right? Especially, right, like some career stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think, you know what, I really should do this other thing, right? And then I think, oh, okay, well, but I don't know that it's going to work out that way. I don't know that it's right. I don't know if I'm talented enough to do that thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, but every time I've taken a chance before, I've been just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Which I hope doesn't sound egotistical, but like I put in a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not great at whatever the thing is at first, but then I keep going, I keep pushing, and I figure out a way to be good at
right.
it, right?
Right, yeah.
And so then I think about, oh, there's this thing that's sort of looming out there for me, and I'm like, but I don't know. And then I'm like, well, but I could probably do it. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
The questions, the fear.
this kind of dovetails into this. There's a guy who's a member of the church. His name is Justin Sua.
Sua?
Sua, maybe. Okay. He is a, what's his official title? He's like a life coach, I guess. Helps the Boston Red Sox and the Cleveland Browns, you know, Boston Red Sox baseball team, Cleveland Browns football team, sharpen their mental edge. And he shares a few things. I want to share those with you. These are his mental performance coaching points that he shares. Number one, he says, do what you do on purpose with purpose.
Intentional.
The thing that separates high-level performers versus the average is deliberance. They think on purpose. They train on purpose. They prepare on purpose. Simple.
Yep.
Super powerful.
Smart.
Number two, not trying to be perfect, but trying to be present. What happens to a lot of people is that they let their fear of yesterday or their fears of tomorrow get in the way of being their best selves today. Right? Again, not groundbreaking. Things that we may have heard in a different way, but super concise, and I love these. There's just two more. You give power to what you focus on. Be mindful of where you're putting your attention, because you're giving power to whatever that thing is. And then number four, and again, you can find all these at theculturalhall.com. Number four, you cannot underestimate the power of gratitude. It says gratitude really dissolves the negativity of your mind, the desire to look inward, and helps you to look outward.
I like it.
Yeah.
What you give your attention to, you give power to.
Where your focus is. Yep. Good. And it's Justin Sua. So SUA.
Awesome. In some sort of Mormon news.
Okay.
So Delicious just opened their 18th location
That's
in Harriman,
Mormon
Utah.
News.
And they're
going to
order one, or they're going to open one in Idaho.
How's the court case with that, by the way? Is that done?
Hashtag free Kevin.
What does that mean?
Kevin is the owner of So Delicious.
Okay.
It's going.
That.
Yep. Hashtag free Kevin.
But where it, you don't know off
no.
the top of your head?
No. I mean, I know that he's still.
It's a mess.
Mm-hmm. He's still having to go to court. Also, they're opening some in Idaho. That's an actual article that I pulled. And Cascade released a new album.
Nice.
You're
is
welcome.
Is it any good?
It's so good.
Is it produced by
so
former guest of the Cultural Hall?
Finn Bjarnson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it great?
Yes. It's so good. It's
like
really
his other
good.
Stuff?
What's that?
Different. Is it different than his other stuff?
It's, I mean, it's similar. It's fresh. I don't know. I've been listening to it. I like it a lot.
When did it come out?
August.
What's it called?
That's a great question that I don't
it's
know.
It's called on your phone. You're going to look it
up? It's called on my phone. I'm going to look it up, and I've been listening to the song.
I'm going to share these two stories, and then I think maybe we'll be done, right? We opening
sure.
exercise the crap out of stuff today.
Yeah,
do you have
that's
anything
true.
That you really want to mention?
Did you cover the from the Barcelona attacks, the terrorist attack? And there's one American who passed away in the Barcelona attacks, and he was a member of the church.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Jared Tucker, the only American to perish in the August 17th terrorist attack in Barcelona, Spain, is a member of the church. Tucker and his wife, Heidi, who were living in the San Francisco Bay Area, were simultaneously observing their honeymoon and first wedding anniversary on a trip to Europe. National news media reported that the couple were at a kiosk in the middle of Las Ramblas shopping when Jared stepped away to find a restroom. That's when a van plowed into the crowd, causing the deaths of 13 people, and he was one of them. So our condolences to their family.
Yeah. This is an interesting story. Should we go? Yeah, well, and yeah, okay, we'll go this way. This out of Gilbert, Arizona. September 3rd is a very special day for one family of the valley. She was born today, which happens to be my birthday, which is my mom's birthday, my grandma's birthday, and my great-grandpa's birthday.
Oh my gosh.
Jan McBride, her daughter Kristen, were born on September 3rd. The brand new baby, Everly. That's the baby's name.
Everly.
Also born on that day. With her birth, the family has now 5 generations, that is 115 years total, all born on the same date.
Hmm.
So, in effect, to emphasize how long it's been, Grandpa was born in 1902, so 115 years, right, in the Arizona Territory.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Before it was even a state.
Yeah.
And they're all members of the church.
Aw.
I love that. The interesting thing, just a quick aside, the interesting thing with my girlfriend and I is whenever I'll say, you know, interesting thing, she'll go, they're Mormon. Doesn't matter what the news story is, I always have to toss it in.
Yeah.
But this food for thought. This weekend is Women's Conference.
Yes, it is.
There will be a special takeover of our Twitter for Women's Conference.
Mm-hmm.
So look forward to that.
It's the general women's session.
Yeah, the general,
general
women's session.
Conference.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. The first session.
Yes.
Thank you for getting it.
You're welcome.
I want to make sure that I get her title exactly on. It's Kate, but it's the Scranton Strangler. Is that what it is? What is her? Hang on. I got to find her Twitter
handle. What her Twitter handle is? I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, she'll be taking over, so you can follow us on Twitter. She's going to live tweet the women's session.
Excellent.
For us, because in years past, we haven't given it the love that we needed to. And so I thought, you know what we'll do? We will toss it out to her. I wish I would have prepared this in the crap. I don't know. Scranton Strangler, yes.
Yeah.
Kate is her name. She's very funny. So she will be tweeting for us, and that's who you can look forward to this weekend. And then, of course, as always, on General Conference weekend, we live tweet all the sessions, and you can follow theculturalhall.com. We do a recap of the best of session tweets and, you know, get online, follow us, retweet us, all those things. But will President Monson be at General Conference? In April, he was there. He delivered two short sermons, but was not there at half the sessions. And soon afterward, the leader was admitted to the hospital for a couple nights. You remember, we all thought, oh, man, it was right after General Conference. He had one last time that he was there, and, you know, now we're going to lose him, and it's not. So the question is, will he be at General Conference? It's the 30th and the 1st, September 30th and October 1st this year, which surprises, I think, a lot of people. Usually they think it's that first Saturday and Sunday in October.
Right, but they're pulling a fast one on us this year.
30th of September, October 1st. So will he be there, and does that make a difference to you?
If he's in attendance?
If he's there or not.
No.
Well, I mean, obviously for me, it does if he's there, right? I like to hear the words of the prophet.
Sure, but what kind of difference?
If he's not there, do I go, man?
No, because if he's not feeling well, then he shouldn't go to church and feel guilty about it.
Right. Way to bring it home.
You're welcome.
She just made the circle motion with her fingers, everybody. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that if you are sick or otherwise afflicted, that you will feel well enough to listen next week and not feel guilty about being sick.
And that you can be able to travel home in safety when the time comes. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat.